Backpack Broadcasting continues to bring you the best original sports content, but now you can get more of the content you love. For as little as $3 a month, you can get access to bonus content, including behind-the-scenes footage and interviews from the Sports Walk, Sideline Stories, or the Ain't Hard to Tell podcast. All this exclusive content comes via Patreon. There are tiered levels of patronage, and each Backpack Broadcasting patron receives exclusive perks. Your support helps Backpack Broadcasting create more of the original content that you love. Visit Backpack Broadcasting's Patreon page and become a patron today. Hard to Tell podcast episode 202. Dexter Henry, Brian Fonseca here. Doing this on Thanksgiving week.
Yes, sir. Becky Lynch won a Survivor Series, so I got to rep the hoodie. You know what I'm saying? Won a Survivor Series last night. I didn't watch it. I didn't have time to watch it, but I know she won. I don't have time for wrestling as much these days. I gotta.
Good. That's good. That's good.
Although, your boy's busy, yo.
Although I was talking to her, I quickly spoke with our friend Dan Surfin today, wrestling lover. We talked a little bit of wrestling.
He interviewed Bianca Belair.
Mm. I did not know that. He did not mention that to me.
Look at his Instagram. She was doing something in the area or whatever, some charitable shit.
Bianca, okay. We were talking about some other stuff, which I'll have to fill you in on. But shout out to Dan, wrestling fan. There. This is Thanksgiving week. You are listening to this episode. We have a special episode planned for you today. It's kind of around Thanksgiving. It has a lot of the things that are involved in the history of Thanksgiving, which is violence and food. Well, the food came before the violence, right? Like, it was all cool between the Pilgrims and the Native Americans. They broke bread, blah, blah, blah. And then the Pilgrims, giving y'all a history lesson here, got shady and tried to get the Native Americans up on out of here and started mass genocide. So, therefore, you see the food and the violence. Now, the food part, you know, excites me. The violence part, you know exactly what that does for Brian's soul. And so we are going to have our first ever Ain't Hard to Tell Thanksgiving draft.
To be clear, not violence against, you know, the people.
Let's be clear on that. And not violence
sanctioned,
against other people.
Sanctioned violence. And then actually the other part of violence that we're going to get into wasn't sanctioned. It just kind of happened.
Yeah, which I know excites you. All right, so we're gonna get to the food later with our first ever Thanksgiving draft. The violence will be first, which is sure to excite Ryan. Now, if you listen to this podcast, you might have seen on Sunday there was some beef. Beef is part of somebody's nickname involved in here. Beef with Isaiah Stewart of the Detroit Pistons, known as Beef Stew, and LeBron James, a.k.a. the Wash King, got into a little, I don't even know what to call this, Ryan. I don't know if you call this a scuffle, a kerfuffle. It wasn't really a fight, but there was a little more going. You know how a lot of times the NBA, dudes are like, yo, hold me back. No. Isaiah Stewart, they tried to hold him back. We'll get to that in a second. Now, Brian, I got to ask you this. First of all, what you thought of this, because I saw this play, and this broke out on the free throw line, and LeBron James gave an elbow to Isaiah Stewart. So before we get into details, I want to stop right here. Did you think it was dirty or not? Because I have a very clear thought on what I thought about this.
I think the intentions were obviously evil.
I don't know why I like that as an answer, but I do.
Like I don't, you know, I don't like throwing the word like just dirty around necessarily, but I can't call it a clean play. Like, I don't think throwing an elbow at somebody's head is cool. I also, it didn't seem like LeBron even knew Isaiah Stewart's face was there, but he wanted to elbow him somewhere, right? Like, that's the thing. And the elbow is why he deserved the suspension, because of what that ended up causing. And then Isaiah Stewart being bloody, as you can see right here on the screen, Greg's pulling it up, being bloody on the eye. It didn't even look like he knew blood was coming down until later on, which is why he ended up going back around and trying to actually, you know, start this up again, which is probably what led to the suspension. For those listening, what 2-game suspension for Isaiah Stewart, 1 for LeBron James, which I also found interesting, but I guess that's part of the LeBron tax. I think that LeBron was in the wrong for this. I defend Isaiah Stewart in terms of like how he reacted, at least the first part of it. I don't think he necessarily needed to run back at him, but I totally understand why he did. And I like what he did because, yo, LeBron, we ain't fucking scared of you no more, bruh. I think that's what he's trying to say there. Now he's on the Detroit Pistons, so you know, this is only gonna go with so far. But I like the fact that this energy is sort of been sort of out there. You know what I mean? Like,
this energy has been out there in the league this season.
It's these young dudes are not scared of the Lakers, dog. They're not scared of the Lakers. And I appreciate that part of it. I just wish that Isaiah Stewart, you know, didn't have to catch a bullet to the face and a little blood on the eye. But you know what? That adds character, baby. Put that on a t-shirt. You know what I'm saying? Like, really endorse it, embrace it. Like, LeBron did that to you. You could wear that as a badge of honor for the rest of your career. I think a potentially long one because at the end of the day, he's also a good player. And look, I think that it will serve him well in the long run for branding purposes and things of that nature. But, you know, I think that it's good that basketball does seem to have some character this year. I think this is an incident that I came away with. I was like, okay, we got something happening. We got something popping off. And thankfully, nobody got, like, seriously hurt. I hope his eye is okay, though.
So what I would like people to do, because you're not going to see this when all the clips that people put on Twitter. I saw this was unfolding. I was waiting to go somewhere to a show. And I went back on League Pass, and I went back to right before the fight. And I encourage people to go and do this. If you watch before the fight, on right before the first free throw, and you can listen because there's some moments where the announcers are silent. You can hear LeBron complaining to the officials saying, this shit has to stop. I'm kind of paraquoting on him. Somebody's got to see this shit. And I didn't know if he was talking about beef stew. Something was brewing before. That LeBron elbow did not just come out of nowhere. He was mad about it. And I think LeBron decided to take some matters to his own hands. I absolutely think that elbow was intentional. I think it was dirty. I understand why Beef Stew was mad. He couldn't let another man just elbow him in his face and be leaking from the face. He couldn't have that happen. So I understand what he let. Now, here's what was hilarious to me, Brian, was, yo, Beef Stew did that thing. And if you've ever been around a fight or you've seen it where somebody's been like hyped up and they try to charge at somebody else and everybody's like, yo, all right, we got to calm down. He's like, yeah, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good, son. I'm good. And then as soon as everybody just like, relax their tension on him. Dude was boom, charging out. Dude looked like he broke like 17 tackles trying to get to LeBron. Absolutely hilarious. Look at this. Greg, thanks for bringing this up. Breaking like 17 tackles. And he was ready. He was ready for all the smoke.
And DeAndre Jordan stood in front of him. And that, you know what? That's a fair fight. Like that, in terms of height, reach, weight class, Isaiah Stewart versus DeAndre Jordan, I'm here for that. Like that's one that I would watch on the Darren Williams, Frank Gore undercard.
I believe this was our guy. I couldn't remember who posted this. It might have been our guy, Jamal Murphy. That's the best defense DeAndre Jordan's played in years. Stepping up there. We haven't seen him play defense like
that. Shout out to Murph.
Best defense we've seen him play in years. We haven't seen that at all. So, I mean, he got it. He had to be ready. He had to be ready there. And it's funny. They calmed him down, and Beef Stew does it again. He tries to go back. And then when they calm him down, he runs in the locker room, and you know where he was running, to the other tunnel. He's trying, I don't know, it's like he was ready to take on the whole Laker team, which I was like, oh man, this is Brian Fonseca energy. He is all about this. Ready to take on the whole team. Let's just be real right here. I feel like based off of this performance in the kerfuffle, this man is very likely to make the next Brian Fonseca All-Star team. Like, it's very likely to happen.
At the end of the season, you know what? I hadn't even thought about it, but you know what? Like, I think it's legit, though, right? Like, I think, and people say that, oh, NBA players, they don't really fight, and when they say meet them outside, it's bullshit. And I think, no, I think like in Jimmy Butler's case, when they did it with the Denver Nuggets, and Jimmy Butler was saying, like, meet me in the back or whatever, because he understands, like, he can do whatever there and not probably get fined for it in a way that if he did it on the court, you know, what's he going to do? Prove his toughness to a bunch of 14-year-olds? Like, who cares? So Isaiah Stewart, yeah, like, go out and try to, you know, talk to them in the back. Or if you want to, like, get on your fisticuff shit over there, go right ahead. But, yeah, Isaiah Stewart might be a candidate for one of these old Brian squads at the end of the year. We'll see at the end of the season.
Might be my ass. You might as well put him as a lock to be on there. At least 13. A lock to be on
there. What's the bet for that? Well, minus, you're going to set it at minus 300 or some shit?
I'm looking more like minus 1,000, folks. You know what's happening. You know what time it is. The Sports Walk is back. Watch season 4 of Backpack Broadcasting's original award-winning web series that brings you the opinions of real sports fans in these streets, literally in these streets. The first 3 seasons and current season with new episodes every Monday are available now on the Backpack Broadcasting YouTube channel. Check out the 2017 NYC WebFest official selection and see what other sports fans have to say on the hottest issues in sports today. It's easy, y'all. Just take the Sports Walk. Non-sanctioned violence that Brian talked about, but on Saturday night, the night before that, we had sanctioned violence, and it was a fight Brian and I had been looking for, forward to, for quite some time. I almost forgot about the fight until Brian had sent me a text because I was so tired from working the entire day, and that's Terrence Crawford versus Sean Porter. And look, man, look, I have to say this first, but we could wax poetic about Terrence Crawford all that we want. But Brian, you know you and I have a lot of respect for Sean Porter.
Love
him. We liked him as a fire. We love him. We love the energy he brings. We've seen it time and time again. And this was an ESPN Plus pay-per-view fight, and it was worth the money, okay?
Yes.
I think this is one. I did not watch the entire card, but this was worth the money for me in terms of the main event alone. This was a fantastic fight. It was an entertaining fight. This was not guys running from each other. Brian, you know how much we hate that. These were guys going at it, giving each other their best shots. A lot of great counters. You know, Porter's coming with some hooks, getting some uppercuts in there. You saw Crawford coming back. If you was a shook one in the ring, this was not it. This was not it at all. And I was like, there was a lot of times in this fight, I wasn't even texting Brian. Brian and I usually text during fights. I didn't even message him because I spent too much time being like, ooh, damn, oh, shit. Like, it was just too good. It was so good. Terrence Crawford wins a stoppage in the 10th round, right, Brian? That was in the 10th?
10th round, yeah.
10th round. Stoppage in the 10th. Now, I don't know about you, B, but I think I texted you after and I said, yo, I thought Sean Porter could have kept going. I did not think it was that bad. He got knocked down twice in the 10th round. The first one, second one, I guess a little bit more. He caught him with an uppercut and a combo going down. But regardless, even if he was rooting for Sean Porter, whatever, this was a really damn good fight. And one of the reasons why you're like, look, boxing, this is why you make the good fights that are good matchups that people want to watch and want to see. And we all will know what that next fight should be for Terrence Crawford. Don't play around with this. Don't play around. We all know we want to see him fight Spence. Let's get it done.
So it's important because there's a lot of layers to this. One, Sean Porter, I love him, like, just as a fighter, because and I drew this comparison last night, and I did it again at the time you're recording this. I may have already dropped a video with FanDuel talking about this very briefly, but I'm going to have more time to do it here, that's obviously. But I compared Sean Porter to Jimmy Butler in a weird way. I feel like with Sean Porter, he's one of these dudes where you didn't really see it coming in terms of his rise to stardom. He didn't have the amateur pedigree in the same way that some of his peers did, the Danny Garcias of the world and things of that nature, Keith Thurman, et cetera, et cetera. And that's on one hand. And then two, just worked really hard to become a champion, a world champion, which he became throughout the course of his career and fought in a lot of other title fights. And then three, just the toughness and being able to stand toe-to-toe with anybody he fought and at his best could compete with absolutely anybody, which is something that Jimmy Butler proved and something that Sean Porter proved with Keith Thurman, with Danny Garcia, with Kell Brook, now with Terrence Crawford, because a lot of people, I was looking on Twitter, people like even Lou DiBella, promoter who I really, really respect, had Sean Porter winning at the time of the beginning of that 10th round. I had Crawford ahead. I had it close. A lot of people had it close. And I felt like with Sean Porter, like he definitely won some rounds with his aggression, tagged Terrence Crawford, probably even a little bit more than I expected, especially with his right hand. Because usually a Terrence Crawford fight, he'll, you know, he'll probably lose the first two rounds because the first round, he'll just kind of feel you out. The second round, he'll feel you out from the southpaw stance. And then he starts picking you apart, counter shots, and he really like uses his defense to create his offense. And then later on, which we've seen because he now has nine straight finishes, nine straight knockouts. So we don't think of Terrence Crawford as this
knockout fighter.
We don't think of him that way, right? Yep. Like, and in that time that he moved up to welterweight, which means every fight he's had at welterweight so far, he stopped people. Now others would say, oh, who has he really fought? He beat Benavidez. He beat Amir Khan past his prime, Kell Brook, whatever, whatever. And I'm like, yo, this is why to me, he's kind of Roy Jones Jr.-ish. Whoever you're putting in front of him, he is just outboxing these dudes. And in most cases, except for, you know, the Sean Porter fight, it's not even that close. It's not even that close. And I think what? For me, I want, and this is the last part. This is important because you mentioned what we should see next.
Yeah.
After the fight, one, Sean Porter retired. And another reason why I'm hats off to him because Sean Porter announced his retirement.
I actually didn't. I totally missed that. I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. So after the fight, one, it was weird because Kenny Porter, his father who trained.
Yes, him, that was weird. I'm so glad you're talking about this. This is so weird.
He said that the reason he stopped the fight was because he didn't like Sean Porter's preparation, which is weird. And then Sean Porter ends up retiring, which leads me to believe I don't want to say that there's family friction or whatever, but I'm wondering if like one, Sean Porter's like 33, 34 years old. He's still a young dude. So maybe he gets back in the ring at some point. But two, did he retire to spite his father? At the end of that, like that was a little weird to me. But I also want to mention this because the Sean Porter retired. That's one. And two, Terrence Crawford left Top Rank. He announced that he's leaving Top Rank. And he flat out said Bob Arum is not getting him the Errol Spence fight. He wants the Errol Spence fight. And yes, I agree, Greg. Sean Porter is a very good analyst. So I hope that we see him in the chair. Terrence Crawford versus Errol Spence, like this is the most likely that it's been at this point because Terrence Crawford is leaving Top Rank reportedly, and hopefully we get it. Keith Thurman has also thrown his hat in there saying that he's willing to fight Terrence Crawford in 8 months, whatever. I want to see Terrence Crawford Errol Spence.
Yeah, there, okay, couple things there because one, thank you.
There's a lot there. I just threw a lot
at you. No, that's fine. That's fine. And you are the combat sports guru here. I did not know about Porter retiring. I was shocked by. I did watch the post game interview with a Kevin. Was Kevin Porter's part? Is Kevin right?
As far as Kevin,
Kenny. Sorry, Kevin Porter plays for the Houston Rockets. Kevin Porter Jr. That is. Kenny Porter says this, and I was kind of like, "Yo, who's? Why you got to put just? Even if he did had a proper training, you gonna put him on blast on TV like this? It was just shocking to me. And I was watching
after Sean, he fought a good fight by the
a
way.
Fight. Yeah, I was watching Sean Porter's face. In that moment, I could see it was somebody that just was like, yo, can't believe my dad did this. But I'm going to be nice in front of all these people on TV. That's what it looked like to me. And so I wonder if he announced his retirement just because he's like, I'm done. I ain't going to be fighting with y'all anymore, but I'll be back. And if Sean Porter retired and he's done, then that's cool. And I think he's had a very good career. He's fought a lot of people. He's definitely one of the class fighters in that division in this era for sure. There's no doubt about it. And the one thing about him is he didn't back down or run away from anybody. He was here for all this smoke and then also proved himself every time in the ring. So, you know, I don't think he has anything to be ashamed of for losing this fight to Porter. I still thought he could have kept going. His dad said they wanted to protect him from what they saw that could be coming from Terrence Crawford. But, okay, whatever. That's that. It was interesting. But, Brian, another thing I got to ask you is, you talked about the Spence fight, and we both would like to see him fight Spence. We think that's what should happen. I think it is very interesting that Crawford left Top Rank and is like, okay, these guys are not getting it done, which puts a lot of pressure on whoever he signs with next to be like, yo, you know what time it is and what fight it is that we need to get done. Now, Spence was at the fight. You saw Spence get up and leave after the stoppage of the fight, to which, and you know, him and his boys look kind of disgusted, which I didn't understand. What do you make of that? And, you know, now it feels like it's really on Spence and his camp to get this done because Crawford's kind of putting it out there. He said it in the fight, you know who's been running from me pretty much. So it's on that Spence camp to get it done.
And it's important to note, all the top welterweights virtually have been with PBC. So if Terrence Crawford is going to get this done, like, because I'm looking at the list, I wanted to pull up the list from BoxRec and their top ranked welterweights, because that'll give you an assessment of like who we're talking about here, right? Errol Spence is a PBC fighter. Your Dennis Ugas, who just fought Manny Pacquiao and retired him, is also a PBC fighter. Danny Garcia, PBC fighter. Mikey Garcia, PBC fighter, right? And I don't really think we need to see Terrence Crawford versus Mikey Garcia. Mikey Garcia actually just lost. Boots Ennis, Jerron Boots Ennis, who's an up-and-comer, 24 years old, 28-0, has finishing ability. He's a PBC fighter. If you go further down the list, there's Adrian Broner, et cetera, et cetera. We're talking about the top of the top here. So, and really, Dex, we're talking about Errol Spence, like at the end of the day. Right. Keith Thurman is not even listed here because of inactivity. Surprise, surprise. He hasn't fought since Manny Pacquiao beat him, and that was about 2 years ago. So, yeah, I mean, there's only one person worth talking about here, and that's Spence versus Crawford. That fight, and in order to do that, he's going to have to do business with PBC. They did it to make the Sean Porter fight, to be clear. Porter, by the way, so that you know his retirement is official, not even listed in the BoxRec ranking, because as soon as you officially retire, they take you out. Now, in order to make this fight happen, they weren't, for whatever reason, PBC and Top Rank were able to make this happen. But Terrence Crawford, he said it. He has been calling these guys out for a long time, and he's putting his money where his mouth is by reportedly leaving Top Rank and presumably trying to go get this fight. As we can see this video that Greg pulled up here of them talking shit to each other, like, look, I really believe Terrence Crawford wants to make this happen. I believe Errol Spence does too. I feel like Errol Spence may want it a little bit more on his terms, but I think that Terrence Crawford right now is the boogeyman in that division because he's somebody who's just accomplished a lot in different weight classes and is arguably the number one pound-for-pound fighter in the world. It's really between him and Canelo Alvarez and, you know, the monster Naoya Inoue, maybe somebody who is getting consideration there. I think he needs to do a bit more to crack that top two, but it's really between Canelo and Terrence Crawford. So, look, there's no question what we need to see next. Hopefully we can get it in the spring, March, April, May, something along those lines. Spence Crawford, that's definitely a fight worthy of that, you know, that May weekend. A lot of the big fights happen between, you know, May and that first weekend in May, Cinco de Mayo weekend, and then early in September. And that's normally how it happens historically. That's why Floyd Mayweather, you know, wanted to fight on those 2 days. Like, those are very, very big weekends for boxing. And Canelo Alvarez might have something to say about that if Crawford Spence happened at that point. But that's the fight we need to see, and I hope we see it.
We gave y'all the fighting. Now it's time for the food.
Yes.
All right. The first ever Thanksgiving draft here on the Ain't Hard to Sell podcast. This is not really that hard, folks. We're here trying to make the best plate that we can. That's all this is about, making the best Thanksgiving plate you can. You know, if you're listening, what you are, your must-haves on your Thanksgiving plate. Except here, we are picking from a list of all the potential foods that could be. Any food can be drafted here in the Thanksgiving draft that you want. We will pick one by one. We have five picks. You got five things you put on your plate. Now, there are times I put more than five things on my plate, just to be clear.
Same.
Pretty much on that first plate for Thanksgiving. There's more than five things on the plate. Like, everything is touching everything. But there are three things for me that when they touch, that is like the holy trinity of my Thanksgiving plate. They have to touch. You put it all on one bit of your fork. Woo! Perfect.
Huh.
Can't wait for
okay.
that.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to be drafting. Brian's going to be drafting. Our producer Greg is going to be drafting with us as well. Yes. We will be picking dishes.
Allow me to break down the rules real quick so that people understand. One, we're going to have the turkey round. The turkey round is just kind of to lay out how we like our turkey. That's really all that's for. That was not necessarily like, it's not like if somebody drafts it roasted or fried, the other person can't have it. That's just to establish the base for everybody, how they like their turkey. Then from there, we go into the five foods that Dexter was talking about. It's going to be a snake draft. So Dexter's going to have the first pick. I'm going to have the second pick. Greg is third. And then in the next round, Greg is first. then me, then Dex, and then we keep going until we're done with five picks because we need five sides on each plate. Then we'll do one drink each and one dessert each, and then we'll have a happy Thanksgiving. So those are the rules.
Those are the rules. Are you ready to start?
I'm nervous. I'm nervous about what's going to happen. Thanksgiving draft. There are a couple things I need. I absolutely need. And Greg's already shaking his head.
Yeah. I already know what I need. Greg, what's up, man? Are you ready for Thanksgiving? I owe you some sorrel, which I will be bringing to you before Thanksgiving. And you got some creme ice for me?
Yeah, I got some bottles.
Okay, all right. There we go. That's good. Creme ice, for people don't know, that's like the Haitian coquito. And sorrel is a hibiscus drink. A lot of us Caribbean folks drink that Greg knows about and Brian knows about as well, too. All right, ready to get this thing cracking?
I'm ready. Let's go.
All right. Let's go. All right, guys. First pick of the first ever, ain't hard to tell, Thanksgiving draft. Oh, we doing the turkey round first?
Just how you make your turkey first.
Okay.
How
you? So, I don't make the turkey. I do a decent amount of cooking for Thanksgiving, but I don't make the turkey.
Me neither.
But the turkey I will be having this year is deep fried turkey. Ooh. Deep fried turkey is the way I've had the turkey at my in-law's house for the past couple of years, and it is slamming. Love it. Get a lot of that crisp around the edge, but it's so tender and juicy in the middle. Well seasoned, because you know how people that look like us do. We got to have the season up on there. If you don't have season on your turkey, shame on. If you don't have season on anything for Thanksgiving, shame on you. Right. That's the first of all to that. But we're not going to get involved in that. But deep fried turkey, that's how it's done. That's for me for the turkey now. Brian, how do you do it?
So Dex has a deep fried turkey. Yeah. I'm, you know, we roast things over here. We put that in the oven, you know what I'm saying? We put it in the oven for mad hours. You know, make sure you check on it. Make sure the proper seasoning is on it and all that stuff. It's, you know, it's hard. It's something I actually haven't necessarily done myself yet. I want to learn how to do it because you do actually have to learn how to do it because it is a process. I've seen it done many, many times and I've helped out in a couple different instances. But, you know, it's something that I would like to do myself. But it's straight up roasted over here, man. You're right.
Okay. The slow roaster.
Yes.
Turkey. Okay. Greg, how's the turkey in the Alcala household?
Yes.
So, you guys can hear me, right?
Yeah, we hear you.
I'm not gonna sit here and act like I eat turkey on Thanksgiving. So I'm.
Wait, hold on, Greg. Don't draft anything yet. Just say, because we haven't drafted anything yet. Just say how you like the turkey. Keep it moving. If you don't want to eat turkey,
turkey at all, Greg? Like, are you not eating the turkey at all?
So I gotta pick a meat here to substitute for.
Well, hold on, because in some of you know you might take a meat.
And that's
part of the. You know what I'm saying?
So to be clear for everybody, we have already established that turkey will be on the plate. Now for Greg's plate, we understand that Greg ain't touching the turkey, so it's just fine.
He's going straight to the side.
Greg, you do not eat turkey on Thanksgiving. There's no turkey eating on Thanksgiving. Greg is not. So
I gotta pick some.
Oh,
no, you don't. No. He can't because, like, then you're going to pick something that we're supposed to say.
You got it.
You know what I'm saying?
So for the turkey, everybody is turkey on his plate. Greg is nice enough to take the turkey at Thanksgiving, put it on the plate, but he's not going to eat it. We got it. Now let's get on to the real picks, okay?
All right.
So first pick. Four, complimentary food round one. First pick in the first ever Ain't Hard to Tell Thanksgiving Draft. I feel like there's a lot of pressure. But I feel like this food right here, undefeated. Champion of foods. Staple. Got to be on your plate. If you ain't got this on your plate, man, you ain't doing it. All about the goodness. The creamy, cheesy goodness of mac and cheese.
Oh, okay.
Mac and cheese. Number one pick. Put it down on the plate. Gotta have it. There's another one I could have went with, but I didn't, and I feel like it's going to get taken. I'll be pretty salty. Y'all will know what it is when it happens.
I was so scared.
Can't live without this one, so I had to protect it because it goes well with the other stuff that I need to have on my plate. So give me the mac and cheese, number one.
Is it out the oven?
Out the oven. Yeah. Okay, the oven.
Yeah. Same.
I don't know why you were shaking your head there, Greg, as if mac and cheese isn't worthy of a number one pick. The hell is wrong with you?
That's the number one. Yeah.
No, because I'm picking like back to back, so I was gonna do that there.
Oh, I'm sorry. See, which tells me, Greg, I'm pretty sure I know what your back-to-back picks would have been at number three. I'll say it after you pick, but I'm pretty sure what you your strategy was to go with in round number one and top of round number two. I know what you were trying to do. Now, okay. Now, Brian, yes. You could fuck this all up right here. Like, this could all be fucked up right here. I could totally see that happen.
I don't know if I am, but, like, the one thing I absolutely cannot not have is the glazed ham with pineapples baked. You know what I'm saying? It's the one thing I cannot. It's the one thing.
This is your must-have on your plate.
I said this, I think, last episode when we talked about this. It has become, especially within the last few years, it's the star of the show. Longer than that. For many years, it's been the star of the show. Like, it's been the thing that I look forward to the most. The glazed honey ham, holiday ham with pineapples straight out the oven. The pineapples are absolutely necessary. And it is great. You got to get that nice thick cut. And it is beautiful.
Okay.
All right.
Brian selects honey ham. So now I'm pretty sure, because I know Greg, I'm pretty sure I know where Greg's going with this. Go ahead, Greg.
I don't think I have a choice. Like, it's got to, you know what I mean? I got to take it. I got to go candy yams. Gotta go candy yams, man.
I did not see that coming. That's not where I thought this was going.
Okay, all right. So after I get my other back-to-back pick, I want to hear what you think, where you thought I was going to go.
Okay.
Because I might spoil it.
Right. I will say it only if
we'll do it at the end. We'll recap it.
I'll recap it at the end. Go ahead.
Okay. Keep going.
Candy yams in round one for Greg. Candy yams. Those will not be on my plate at all because I do not care for candy.
You don't like candy yams?
I do not like candy yams.
Ah,
that's interesting.
Yes.
Not something I was going to take, but.
Okay, go ahead, Greg. Greg is the first pick for round two.
And first pick for round two, it's actually, like, there's no Thanksgiving without it. If this is not on the menu, I'm probably not
going
to eat.
So I know where he's going.
I'm going stuffing.
Yeah, I knew it. Yeah. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. Now, Greg, this is what I have to ask you. Were you going to try to go mac and cheese stuffing back to back?
Dude, I was going to go mac.
Wait. I don't want, because you might spoil something, bro. It's already off the board. Okay.
I was going to go mac and cheese, honey.
I knew it.
The first two picks.
Yeah. And see, and Greg, I got a salute with you on there, because if I had back to back picks, I would have gone mac and cheese and stuffing. Undoubtedly.
The reason why I go yams and stuffing, because those are like super sized. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you got your turkey. And then you got, rice and mashed potatoes.
You
don't got your turkey. That's
it. I'm not doing that. I know what I'm going to make up for it, but I'm not doing it. Well, yeah, like stuffing and candy yams, those are like super sides.
Okay. So
I support it, Greg. I think that's a strong two. Candy yams, I wouldn't have taken, because that's not for me necessarily, but a lot of people love it. So I get it.
So what Greg did for me is Greg messed, and I'll explain this later. Greg messed up for me what is the Holy Trinity by taking stuffing. Stuffing is part of my Holy Trinity that I have on the plate. And I need it, and now I can't have it. And so I'm angry. I'm angry about what this plate could be. But go ahead. Brian, your pick, second pick in round two.
I mean, as the Puerto Rican in the room.
I mean, the honey ham with pineapples weren't enough of the Puerto Rican in the room?
No. Now we gotta get the arroz con guandule, you know what I'm saying? We gotta get the rice of guandule. in the second round, that is gonna be my pick. I have something else on the board that I was really debating here. It's very high on my big board. Yes, I actually made a little mini big board.
And I have no big board.
This rice of guandules, right. Greg. Don't get it twisted. We got the guandules are there too. So rice of guandules and honey ham. That's what I have so far.
For our Spanish speaking friends, that is rice with black beans.
No, like little peas. You know what I mean?
Oh, so it's regular rice and peas.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't call it regular, but that shit is fire. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Fair enough. Okay, so now this is me, last pick of the second round. Greg messed up my Holy Trinity. I'm so mad about this. All right, so no stuffing is on the board for me. My number two pick, this is a must-have. It's always made in the Henry household, and I am making it this year, so it's going to be fire, of course. Curry Goat. Curry Goat got to be on there.
And you're back-to-back, remember. So
yeah, back-to-back. I'm really trying to think about what I'm going to do next one. Curry Goat has to be on there. One of my favorite meats, period. Curried. Love it. Love to have it. You know my plate is going to be Mad Caribbean. This is what it is. This is the start of it. Curry Goat on there. Yo, Curry Goat touching the mac and cheese? Woo! Perfect. Love it. All right. So now I'm picking first for the third round, right?
Yes. Greg, are you writing these down or you want me to write these down?
I mean, I have it in the I have it on the side here with all the captions, so we should be able to. We can do a good recap after.
Yeah, we gotta make a chart. We gotta make a chart so we can post it and see what the people think. Third round. Let's see.
Spotlight's on you.
Third round, man. Now, I would have loved to have had stuffing here or in one of these picks. I do not have stuffing here, which is a little disappointing. And so I don't know because Brian's already took rice and peas off the board, which also is something that I personally make on Thanksgiving, and I've continued to make it. My mom's recipe is always great, coconut rice and peas. It's a little different variation, so I know we said we could do that here.
I feel like you could do that. So it's different.
I'm going with my coconut cream rice and peas.
Yeah, which that's, a totally different thing.
Yeah. That's what I make. That'll be done there. Coconut cream rice and peas on the plate. So on my plate right now, we got the coconut cream rice and peas. We got the curry goat. We got the mac and cheese. Doing pretty good. I'm okay. I'm pretty happy right now.
Okay. Okay. So there's something that I really want on the board that's still on the board, but like.
Your board.
There's something that I still want that's available, but
I know. I think I know what it might be.
All you have for now is honey, ham, and rice. You need to like.
I feel like.
No, Greg's like, your plate is sorry.
I feel like, no. Okay, so look, here's what I'm going to do. This pick is not going to be available later. I just straight up think it's gone. So I'm going to take it now. And I'm just good. It's a classic favorite.
I know what you're going to say. And it's funny because it would have been available because I'm not going to take it.
Really?
I know. I'm pretty much sure I know what you're going for here. I'm pretty confident.
I'm taking mashed potatoes.
Okay. Oh, that's not what I thought. Oh, yeah. That's what I'm doing. But still with that, you can have that.
I'm taking mashed potato because like there's something else that I really want that y'all ain't going to take. Like
let's recap your plate. You got mashed potatoes, you got a little honey ham,
yeah,
and you got your rice and peas.
Yeah, got the arroz con guandules, you know what I'm saying? We got that. We got mashed potatoes now too. So we got fresh mashed potatoes, not that shit out of the box. Okay. From potatoes, you know what I'm saying? Like from actual potatoes.
Yeah, of course. So. Yeah.
Okay. Carbo loading.
Yes. Brian's loading up on them carbs.
On Thursday, on Thanksgiving? Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I can't front. You know what I'm saying?
Put it up. All right, so this is like.
Once that Cowboys game comes on, woo! You know what I'm saying?
Last pick of the third round?
Yeah, you got last pick of the third round, first pick of the fourth round.
Okay, so my last pick of the third round. Man, it's tough. But I'm going to go with. I mean, this is like. Not every house is going to have it, but I feel like, you know, it'll be a star anywhere. So I'm going with Snyder Wings.
Are you talking about Snyder Chinese?
Yep.
Snyder on Utica Avenue?
I'm going with Snyder Wings.
Okay, so here's what we got. But Greg, here's what we got to do. Because unless you – this – I'm from East Flatbush, Brooklyn, where this restaurant that Greg is talking about is from.
Yeah.
And Brian, I will have to bring you these wings and have you taste it at some point.
Yeah.
In fact, these wings are so good – I'm supposed to go kick it with a friend of mine tomorrow to do some work, and I'm going to bring some of those wings to her. They are soy sauce fried wings, chicken wings. They are fantastic. Probably having too much of them and all that sodium probably really isn't good for you, but they're fantastic. Greg's, I don't know if Greg, I'm assuming your family buys these for Thanksgiving. I have an aunt at her house. She always gets them for the holiday meals. They're really good. Snyder Chinese on Utica, and what's that, Utica and Tilden? Utica and Tilden, if you're in Brooklyn and East Flatbush, check it out. Their wings are fire. I have no problem with this. This is a fantastic pick if you are Brooklyn and of Caribbean descent. I will say
that. Yeah, you gotta be
familiar. Ryan, you would love these wings. I guarantee you that. Remember how we talking about how Wingstop was whack a couple episodes ago? This ain't that, bro. This is good. This is good.
It's terrible.
Okay, Greg Snyder wings. I did not see that coming. Yeah, okay. So, Greg, hold on. Greg, you got a... This was your first meat on your plate other than the turkey that you wanted.
Yeah. We got a nice plate. We got yams. We got stuffing. We got wings. So, with my next pick, and this is like another Caribbean favorite, one of the best rice dishes in the Caribbean.
Here we go.
Black rice and shrimp.
There we go. Sapase.
Black rice and shrimp, maybe.
Black rice. Okay, there you go. Black rice and shrimp.
You got to let people have their variations. Otherwise, it's going to suffer.
See, we all have the variations of our rice and black rice. Shout out to our Haitian brothers and sisters.
Yeah, it's my mom's dish is like undefeated. That's what people come to the house for. Like, you know what I mean? So it's a winner.
Save me a plate, Greg. Please save me a plate. All right, Brian. What's your pick for round four?
Remind me. What was your second round pick? Just so I have
my,
it here.
My second round pick?
Yes.
Was Curry Goat. Correct. Second round pick was Curry Goat.
I just want to type that in to make sure that
Dex, guys. All right, this is a little mid-round recap. First pick, Dex took mac and cheese. And I'm assuming that's baked mac and cheese, like Caribbean way.
No. Well, I'm fine with what we call macaroni pie, as you know.
Yeah, macaroni pie.
Macaroni pie. It is baked. Yeah. But the mac and cheese I generally have at Thanksgiving now because of my mother-in-law is Southern style mac and cheese. So a little bit more creamier, but it is still baked.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's like every house has that mac and cheese. So you got mac and cheese first, curry goat in the second round, coconut cream rice and peas in the third. That's a good plate.
I think it's a good plate.
You got honey ham, rice, and mashed potatoes. Mm-hmm. I would never see mashed potatoes on my plate, but I get it.
Y'all don't like mashed potatoes, man.
Potatoes, but we don't cook it on Thanksgiving. You know what I'm saying?
It's funny because like I generally wouldn't cook it, but going to my in-laws' house, they make it, so it's definitely there.
I feel like that's a Thanksgiving staple. So I wanted to make sure I got.
But I gotta be honest, like I'm not scooping it up though.
Yeah,
not early.
Nah, it's something that stuck with
me. I'll eat it. Like, I'm not saying I don't. It's just not. It's not gonna be in his first plate. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about what you want to put on this first plate.
Yeah.
The plate that gets it going. Like Brian said, Cowboys game is on. You know what I'm saying? We gotta get this going.
That's
what we're talking about.
You gotta eat during the Cowboys game. The first plate gotta be during the Cowboys game.
But the first plate is your best plate. You know what I mean? So you
it should be your best plate. I agree.
I'm about to pick right now. Okay. This is honestly. Honestly, I think this is a stronger pick than mashed potatoes. I was just nervous that mashed potatoes was going to be off the board, but apparently I miscalculated because
you did miscalculate it.
But it's totally fine because I'm taking pernil with the fourth round pick. You already know. For people that don't know, it's roasted pork really fucking good.
I'm not sure there's anything more Latino about Brian's plate than he's got two pork dishes on there. Two, they got the honey ham. Now listen for our Latino brothers and sisters. Man, some good pernil. It's pulled. It's tender with the gravy.
We've had it, Dex. We've had it. We've ordered it to St. Francis before when we worked there. It's so good. Because it's not just like regular roasted pork. It's a specific way you season it, you know, whatever the case may be.
If I was in the Fonseca household, I'm going right for that pernil, yo.
It's a must. This is what I wanted to pick in round three, but I was like, this is not going to be taken. I like my chances there.
Oh, you had a good chance because you had two, like, with Greg and I's household, nobody's making the pernil. So you had a good chance.
If y'all even make that kind of meat, it would be made differently or whatever. But I was like, my first plate, this is absolutely, with the ham, I don't care. I'm having most, and with the turkey, there's a lot of meat.
Okay. Hey, I like it. All right. So last pick of round four. Whew. Thinking about this. I think about this real good. Okay. This is where I got to go to. It's funny. There's a lot of stuff I'm picking and stuff I'm actually cooking on Thanksgiving. I got to go with my oxtail. Oxtail, we always make the oxtail on Thanksgiving. Got to be good and tender. Goes perfectly next to the mac and cheese. Perfectly the rice and peas. Also got a little bit of that curry goat in there. Oxtail. That's what I'm going to. Gotta have my oxtail on my plate there. And for my last pick, which would be the first pick of round five.
Yes.
I gotta make this good. I gotta make this good.
I got to add a side now because you got mac and cheese, you got some meats in there, rice. So you gotta.
So if I'm making the plate, because I need to have some balance, and on this plate, I need something, some greenery on here.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna pick for what I know this year. Normally, when it was just, you know, my parents were just in my house, it's callaloo is what I'm picking, is my greenery. But I know my mother-in-law is going to be coming through with the collard greens. Talk to her today. Her collard greens are slamming. Got to throw the collard greens on the plate. Got to have some greenery. Either it's going to be, if it's traditional Caribbean, I'm going to put the callaloo. But because of this, I'm going to have the collards on the plate as my last pick. Got to get some green up in there. Can't be too starch heavy like my man Fonseca. He's starch heavy and heavy with the pork. Got to add some greens up in here. So, yeah, there we go. Collard greens for the last bit on there. I really like my plate. The only thing that's missing on my plate that I would have, and I will now explain my holy trinity. My holy trinity on my Thanksgiving plate is the curry goat touching the mac and cheese, touching the stuffing. Get that all on one fork?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm cooking with that, man. Give me a little stuffing mac and cheese with the curry goat. I could just eat that and I'd be fine.
Okay. I do agree. I have a starch heavy, carb heavy plate. Normally what I'll have in the fifth thing is like, I'll have some mixed vegetables. Okay. I don't want to necessarily draft mixed vegetables.
No.
That just doesn't seem like something you would want to draft. So.
This is the last. It's the last pick.
I'm not necessarily doing it that way. I'll say more specifically, I'm going to go with. And I'm gonna shout out to Astrid here. Her mother makes a really good shrimp salad, so I'm gonna put the shrimp salad as my fifth thing here. Shrimp salad is good. Shrimp salad is something that my parents have made as well. It's exactly what it sounds like, but it has a certain dressing that's like really good, and it's there because it's also like you want to feel a little bit better about yourself after eating, you know, all the other stuff, all the carnage that you're going to be doing on the plate. So yeah, let's put in some shrimp salad there to, you know, to help our digestive potential issues that evening. Salad. Shrimp salad is good though.
Nice. Like shrimp salad.
All right.
Your last pick. Your last side dish.
That's two picks, right?
No, you got one more pick.
And then you're going to get the first drink.
Got you. Oh, it's only five rounds, not six rounds. Okay.
Yes.
This is my last pick.
For the food.
So we get
to we do have dessert. We have one drink round and one dessert round. You're gonna be first in the drink.
So I know I got stuffing, I got black rice, I got fried chicken. So all right, I'm gonna take a dish that is probably one of the best complimentary finger foods to have on your plate.
I know where you're going with that.
Yeah, I got to go fried green plantains, man.
Oh, that's not where I thought you would go.
Oh, okay. Oh,
but I like it.
Yeah. You can't, yeah, I mean, it just, you know.
You can't go wrong with some plantains, man.
I thought about taking it, but then I was like, I'm not just going to add to the, you know, I need a vegetable. Something with a vegetable. I thought about getting like, you know, platanos or something.
We got platanos, we got stuffing, we got black rice, we got fried chicken. I think I got a good plate.
It's a good plate. Those Snyder wings were unexpected. All right, Greg, you're the first to pick a drink. So what's your drink that you're going with?
First for the drink.
Drink anything.
Anything.
Any drink.
That's tough, man.
Somebody's gonna be like water.
Nah, I'm not gonna go crazy. I'm gonna keep it simple. Like, you know, I've been drinking this thing for years. Ocean Spray. I'm going
Ocean Spray. Man. Ocean Spray. What? Cranberry juice.
Cranberry juice.
A little. So no cranberry sauce. Going.
I was thinking about it.
You go a little Ocean Spray cranberry juice. Okay,
it gets the job done, man. Like, you know.
Okay, Ocean Spray cranberry juice.
I know it's gonna be some Caribbean for sure.
Oh, it absolutely is. It absolutely is.
See, I guess I have a second pick here since we're keeping the same order. See, I don't drink alcohol. Otherwise, I would take coquito here. You know what I mean?
Because I feel, you feel like you're supposed to.
I feel like I'm supposed to,
the
right?
The cultural pressure.
I feel like I should if I'm hosting and like it's going to be there, right? Like
you can have a virgin coquito.
I haven't tried that actually.
See, but here's the thing though. You gotta factor in what's on your plate. You really want to drink coquito with all that? You will not see the light of day.
Well, I don't drink coquito, period. I would actually drink cranberry juice. You know what I mean? I would do what you did, but you took cranberry juice off the board. So you know what? I'm going to get a mango passion fruit juice.
There you go.
And I'm going to keep Dex. I'm going to keep it going in the same lane that I've been in as the Latino in the room. I'm going to get like a mango passion fruit juice to wash this all down. I really should probably just get water. That would probably be the smart thing, but I'm just getting a mango passion fruit juice.
Okay. I'm going with, I love sorrel as a holiday drink. I'm having my sorrel right before, as we were doing this podcast, I was making my batches of sorrel. I'm going to bring Greg some because I promised I would bring him some. I'm going to have that. It's going to be with a little bit of rum, some form of Grenadian rum will be in there, most likely some Jack Iron, something really strong. It's going to mellow me out after I have this food. But yeah, sorrel. That's it for me. Sorrel is my first drink. Always have to have it as my first drink with my first plate. Got to. Then I usually then go over to the wine. But sorrel for the first drink.
Yeah.
All right, so then it's me. What's next? Dessert? Okay, so let me. I feel like he's going to get a lot.
And for the people at home, this is the last round.
This is the last round.
Yeah. Wait, so Dex is picking first?
Yes.
Now, I already know.
Honestly, I don't even know what I'm picking for dessert.
Greg, you have no idea what I'm picking for dessert.
I hope he doesn't fuck it up for me. I really hope.
Who, me?
Right? No.
Greg is assuming, because of my Caribbean-ness, that I'm going with black cake. Nah. He's assuming this. Oh, this is how you thought I'm going. Okay.
That's what I'm saying. I hope he doesn't fuck it up for
me. I like black cake, but that will not be available on Thanksgiving. And here's the thing. I'm not a big dessert person for most people who know me. Yeah. Not big on the sweets.
For Thanksgiving, not big on the sweets.
You're not going to get me on the pumpkin pie.
Yeah.
You ain't going to get me on the sweet potato pie.
Nope.
I'm not here for that. I don't care for that. In fact, the only way I can make dessert enjoyable on Thanksgiving is I got to go bring my own because I don't make it. I have to bring my own. So what I'm picking up that I know I'm going to have on Thanksgiving is I'm going to have me a nice slice of red velvet cheesecake from Judy's.
Oh, that's what
I have. It's my personal
choice. What a fucking pick. I got to give it to you.
Red velvet cheesecake. That's not what you were going to pick?
I got mine.
Good. I'm glad you got what you're going to pick. Red velvet cheesecake from Junior's. That's my dessert to go with that. Goes nicely right with the sorrel. If you haven't had it, try it. It's freaking great. Yeah. Glad you still have your pick, Greg, even though you took stuffing. Thank you.
It's my favorite thing.
All right, Brian.
Red velvet cake. That's a good one.
Red velvet cheesecake, folks, just to be clear. Yes. Not that's regular red velvet, red, but red velvet cheesecake.
Cheesecake.
Okay.
To be clear, red velvet cheesecake.
Now, keep the camera on all of us, Greg, because I got to see Dexter's reaction in particular. But y'all both probably gonna react to this.
I hope it's what I think it should be.
Right? There's two things that it should be. One of them is flan, obviously.
It should be flan.
And the other
there's another one I love though too.
Tres leches.
There we go. Tres leches.
I'm taking tres leches because I have to.
If I was at the Fonseca Thanksgiving. I told you two things we're going for. That pernil and that tres leches.
Yeah.
I love some tres leches.
I haven't had it in a while.
I love tres leches.
I have to take it because it's like, one, I don't eat dessert on Thanksgiving like that. If I had to pick like my favorite kind of dessert, it might just be straight up like some sort of double chocolate cake or whatever the fuck with like some icing or whatever. Like that would probably be my go-to or whatever. But for Thanksgiving, yeah, you gotta have some tres leches if I'm
that's
gonna
one
have
of my,
it.
Right? That's one of my favorite cakes.
I'm thinking about like what it would be, and it would be that. Like, I don't eat a lot of flan either, but like, you know, I might have some around the holidays, but it's not better than tres leches. So
I agree. And flan is pretty dope, but like, it's not tres leches. Yeah. Okay. Okay, Greg, what you got?
Oh man, I got one of the best desserts in New York City. P. Diddy sent a bunch of kids from Brooklyn to go get him a slice.
I mean, wait. So you're taking? Oh, you. Okay, fine.
Wait, what are you? Wait, so what are you taking?
He's going to the same place that I'm going to get.
It was the same place, but he didn't take what I was getting. But
that's true. That's true.
I'm getting strawberry slice cheesecake from Junior's.
Strawberry slice
cheesecake. Oh, okay. So you got red velvet cheesecake next. Yeah. And Greg from the Greg, y'all both went together, but Greg walked out with the strawberry. Yeah,
I'm fact. Getting all the
swirl.
Yeah, no, not that's a swirl. It's like I don't know what you call it. They like not graham cracker, but they have like they sprinkle it on the top.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
So what is it? Strawberry what again?
Cheesecake.
Strawberry cheesecake.
Oh, it's so good. It's like one of the best things ever.
Okay. Listen, man. Look,
I'm not an enormous cheesecake guy. I get it. You know what I'm saying? Right. I like the red velvet cake. Like not even the cheesecake. I was
surprised red velvet from Junior's. I remember the one time I had it, I didn't like it. But
the red velvet or the red velvet cheesecake?
Red velvet cake. All right, you said red velvet cheesecake. So red velvet.
Yes. I've had the red velvet cake from there. I like though.
So I had the red velvet cheesecake.
Right.
I got it on my birthday, and it was a surprise. Those are two of my favorite cakes, and somebody put it together, and it was like, oh. God, I didn't know where this had been all my life.
Good.
It was fantastic. So I said, I don't eat any of this other stuff that'll be baking on Thanksgiving. Yeah. So I'm gonna bring my own cake. And I'll bring the cheesecake.
No, it's good too though. I mean it depends where you get it, but apple pie. Apple pie with vanilla ice cream.
You know what? Apple
pie. That's what my brother would take if he were doing it.
Apple pie is cool. It's a solid pick. Apple pie, some peach cobbler. I can get down with some peach cobbler.
I'm not crazy about it though. You know,
I'm not
like
a crazy dessert person. You know what I'm saying?
Thanksgiving, right. I just go straight into the shits. You know
straight for the roast pork and the honey ham.
I got so much pork in here, yo. I'm so killing pigs pork, for Thanksgiving. Man.
Killing pigs for Thanksgiving. All
right, I'm sorry, Peter. Let's do our recap real quick. So to look at all the drafts, because I have them written down here.
Yeah.
To reiterate, Dex, deep fried turkey. So that was a turkey round.
Deep fried turkey.
His foods, mac and cheese, which, I mean, look, you can't go wrong with mac and cheese. Pick. You just can't.
Nah.
Mac and cheese, curry goat, coconut cream rice and peas.
Yep.
That was your third round pick. Oxtail and collard greens. Gotta get some sort of
solid,
some
solid
sort
plate.
Of green in there.
Solid
sorrel.
Plate.
Sorrel as your drink, and then red velvet cheesecake as your dessert.
Yes,
that sounds like a great.
I'm smiling already because I'll be feeling good.
I think we all did very good on this draft. I want to say that. Yeah. For my draft, it was the baked honey ham with pineapples.
Of course.
So that was the first pick. Rice or gandules, second pick.
Of course.
Mashed potatoes was the third pick. Pernil, the fourth pick, and really that should have been the third pick. That should have came after the rice, because you eat those rice with gandules and pernil. You eat that together, okay?
Gotcha.
Like, that's what it is. And then fifth, shrimp salad, something light, little vegetable in there. And look, it's very good, especially if you use the right dressing. So, for the drink, I'm supposed to go coquito, but since I don't drink it personally because I don't drink alcohol, although the virgin coquito is something I should try. I haven't tried it yet. So we do this again next year, maybe that's my drink.
Yeah, but somebody now, should make you a batch. No alcohol.
For now, I got the mango passion fruit because Greg took cranberry juice, which we're going to get to, but the mango passion fruit juice. Look, passion fruit, I don't care who you are. That shit is fire. All right? And then for the dessert, tres leches.
Okay. Yeah, strong dessert. Strong dessert, Chase. Strong dessert.
A lot of dairy. And then for Greg's draft, and I did the roasted turkey, by the way. Greg went no turkey, went straight into it. Candied yams was the first pick, then stuffing.
Surprising first pick.
Yes, and then stuffing, then Snyder fried chicken wings, right?
Yes, Snyder wings.
Right,
yeah. Soy sauce fried chicken wings.
Soy sauce fried chicken wings from Snyder's. Black rice and shrimp. And fried green plantains,
sure.
Cranberry juice, and then for dessert, strawberry cheesecake from the same place that Dexter got his red velvet cheesecake. Just, you know, different alterations. Oh, thanks, so I think we did all right.
I feel like next year what we got to do to make the stakes higher is we got to bring some more people in. Really make the stakes higher. Because if something really goes, it doesn't hurt as much for three people. But if there's five and somebody takes that mac and cheese, you want a mac and cheese. Ooh, you're hurt. Mm-hmm. You're really hurt.
I mean, look, we could look. There's a New Year's Eve draft maybe in here somewhere. That New Year's Eve meal is important.
Yeah. Okay?
That Christmas meal also is important. Not as much as Thanksgiving, perhaps, but
wait. So you say
it's not five. It's not five. It's not five sides, though. It's not like that kind of
thing. See, it depends. It depends. Like, because some people don't eat too much for. Some people on New Year's Eve they might have like one super dish that they don't eat for. Like,
depends where you are.
Yeah, a lot of people do different things for that.
Like,
yeah,
my family, like my dad, would get like we do like lobster on New Year's Eve. You know what I mean? So like, not everybody like has like a big meal. New Year's Day is different. You might have cooked something, that'd be a good one. Easter, that's draft worthy. Easter,
huh?
Draft worthy. Okay, I don't go as hard with the meals.
What were the name of the Snyder wings again? Just so I have this perfectly clear.
Yeah, you gotta get them.
What were the name of them? It was soy. What did you say?
Oh, soy sauce. It says soy sauce wings. It's soy wings. It's just soy wings. Like, as soon as you go there, I'm telling you, it's a hole in the wall, typical Brooklyn Chinese store.
Yeah.
But they have a very different way they do their wings. And it's fried and it's in soy sauce. It tastes great. Yeah. High in sodium, don't recommend it. Too much eating of it. But once in a while, especially for the holidays, it's good. And, another thing about that spot we should also mention, their lo mein is also quite dope. Really? As well, too. Mm. Your lo mein is really good there, too. Yeah. Lo mein is really good.
I gotta say, like, because I also refer to this loosely as Chinese food season, because during the holidays, like, it's something that you do have if you're a New Yorker probably once or twice.
Yeah.
Somebody I know was in town, lives out of state, was in town in New York recently and sent me a picture of Wohop. And I was like, I need to go back there because I have not been there in a few years. I think you were there the last time I went there.
I went, it's funny because I went there another couple times without you, where I happened to be around there when I was working and I ended up grabbing some food and that put me in a food coma, which probably
I'm not in that area of New York City.
Yeah, I'm not in Chinatown a lot.
So that's why I haven't, I haven't been there. Like, the last time I was probably around there, I was there for an event, but I wasn't trying to get Wohop because I had to move around a lot. But yo, December, I'm looking at Wohop and I'm like, and the dude told me, like, yo, line out the store like it used to be. You know what I'm saying? So
Wohop is some good food.
Wohop is for people out of state listening to this. It's I don't even know if it's outside of New York or whatever the case may be necessarily.
Nah, it's a New York thing. It's Chinatown. It's a Chinatown.
Yes.
Legendary Chinese spot.
Chinese restaurant.
It's great.
Restaurant, though. Not like a takeout Chinese spot like we'd be talking
you
about.
You can
like,
take out, but it's really a place you go.
It's a little more. It's not fast casual Chinese food because it's a step above that. It's a legit Chinese food restaurant, I would say.
They're called
it's
really good.
Wohop what?
Is it called Wohop next door?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, we're there. Right.
Yes, good.
You never tried it before, Greg?
I've never been there. I've never heard.
Nah, you got to go, Greg. Great food. It's good. Great food.
It's one of those where, like, if people are coming into New York, I would be like, it's like that's one of those places like you want to try it if one you want to save money because it's not very expensive, right. And two, if you know. Don't really plan on necessarily exercising afterwards. You should probably eat it.
it's definitely one of those spots. But as you put a bow on it, man, plates sound good. Hopefully everybody out there enjoys their Thanksgiving, has a healthy and safe one. Eat a lot. Definitely think about the things that you are thankful for. And also please think about what happened with Thanksgiving and the people whose land was taken from them. And then people want to claim it as if they're their own. And we shouldn't do that. So much love and shout out to the indigenous peoples of this land. And as they continue and all of us continue for the blessings that we have to live on this land, and spending time with our families. But yeah, hopefully everybody considers what they're thankful for, spending time with their families, not just the food and the football. Because Brian, we know how you feel about food, football, and family, or family, football, and God. As some people,
God, family, football, the whatever. God, family, football theory. Football. If you got that in your Twitter bio. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Just want to be clear: all those three things are perfectly fine. Perfectly fine. But if that's your identity, you know, that's some Middle America.
There's some other things we might deduce from that. But yo, Greg, thank you for rocking with us on the draft. We appreciate you. So that's it. Till we'll see you guys after Thanksgiving, where our bellies will be full, our hearts will be warm, and hopefully everybody will be safe. So for our producer, Gregory Alcala, who's got a really nice plate with those Snyder wings, my co-host, Brian Fonseca, whose plate is full of pork, as it will be at some point on Thursday,
I'm gonna send y'all a photo.
Please do. Everybody's got to send a photo of their plate so we could tweet that out and show people that we really picked close to what we had on our plate.
Right.
We got to do that. We got to put that tweet out. So, and for myself, whose plate will be full of Caribbean dishes, just like Greg, and enjoying plenty of that. Everybody, again, have a safe, healthy, happy Thanksgiving. Until next time, y'all. Peace.
Peace.